Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So today we will look in scripture, in the book of Amos. So with that, we'll ask about, let's open the scripture to Amos chapter 1. We'll read a few verses there. And then we'll also go to Amos chapter 7. We've been looking through the Old Testament, and we've been looking at some of the minor prophets that that the Lord has allowed them to write various scriptures. And so particularly we study the prophets because it is very important that we get an understanding of God. We've heard this before, get an understanding of his characteristics, get an understanding of his attributes. We also study the prophets, so we can understand the relationship to the words that he had to say and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the promises that Christ brings to us and all the glory. And we also see the reign on the earth. We get an understanding of Israel. It's very important that the prophets actually write, has been written to two books, I mean two kingdoms really. It's really the nation of Israel. And so the nation of Israel was divided into two. There were a seed of Abraham, a children of Abraham, but God has not forsaken his people. So we got an understanding of the whole nation of Israel and Judah, as we would call it back then. And then we also get an understanding of our relationship to God as we consider ourselves the Gentiles, to the rest of the world, and what happens to the Gentile nations. We also get an understanding of God's judgment, of who God is, and a way to understand his mercy, a way to understand his restoration. And as the scripture says that in Romans chapter 15 and verse 7, whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope, a hope that overflows, that gives us confidence and gives us an understanding of his promises. So that's the book of the minor prophets. So let's now look into Amos, and may God help us today as we study God's word. Lord, we ask that you would just, as we open your word today, give us understanding, give us the clarity, O Lord, that we can know that thus says the Lord. We know today there are many judgments that were pronounced because of their sin. We ask, O Lord, as we look into our hearts and the lives of the place that we live, that that we would also repent of our sins and turn to Christ and to know him as our Savior. And we'd be living unto him, an example unto this world, that who the Lord Jesus Christ, how he has changed our lives from darkness into a marvelous light, from our wicked ways into ways where we can know of righteousness, and we can be covered by his blood and given the strength of Father to live from day to day. So bless this opportunity, we pray, in this time in your scriptures, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
So Amos, we start off there, is roughly around 760 BC. He has written his word to the northern tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel. So let's chapter 1, verse 1, if you can find it there. Amos, the word of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord. Let us turn now to chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 10. Then Azariah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos had conspired against me in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of his own land. Also, Azariah said to Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away in the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is a king's chapel, and it is a king's court. Then Amos said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit, and the Lord took me, and I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. And there we'll stop the reading of his word. But here is this man Amos. His life is wrapped up into these few scriptures. His name actually means burden. And we find here that Amos was a man who was he had a message to bear. Some sort of his name kind of ranks with what he's saying. And the scripture says that the Lord God had a message for the people of Israel and also for the people of Judah and all surrounding there. But Amos was born in this place called Tekoa. And Tekoa is roughly 10 miles away from Jerusalem. And we find here that he had been a herdsman. That was his occupation.
Well, the same thing, it does that. Don't worry about it. It's like
there you go.
Thank you. So it says here that he's born in Tekoa, he had an occupation, and we find out that he was a shepherd. There's a little picture here of Amos here. He was a herdsman. This word actually occurs twice in scripture. In 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 4, we find that that word means sheepmaster. It was actually Misha was the king of Moab, and that same word described him as a sheepmaster. But anyhow, Amos was a shepherd in this place called Tekoa. We find here that he was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And primarily in the desert there, It is said that he punctured the holes in these particular sycamore fruit so that worms can somehow change the context of the fruit. And so it's an idea of what a sycamore tree looked like. But this is what Tekoa. Tekoa was a place south of Jerusalem. It was in the southern kingdom of Judah, we call it. Remember, there were two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, because they split. And so therefore, Tekoa was a desert place. It was a barren place. The scripture describes Tekoa in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, as a wilderness, the wilderness of Tekoa. But it was here in Tekoa, in this place, that Amos, who is not a prophet, he's not a son of a prophet, but God had prepared this man who really had no education, no upbringing. He just obeyed God and went out to the call of God to prophesy. And where he went was to prophesy to my people, Israel. He answered the call of God. And so we find there that God had revealed various secrets to the prophets, and this is one of them. And so we had the scripture where the lion has roared, and so Amos went out to answer the call to continue to speak. So let's talk about a little bit of Bethel. Bethel is a place in the northern kingdom. It was actually called the house of God. It's actually where Abraham had built an altar unto the Lord. It was a second altar. It was a place where Jacob had run away and was dreaming of the ladder going up and down to heaven, where he saw angels going up and down. And so Jacob came back 20 years later and set up an altar to the place in Bethel, because God had revealed himself there. But Bethel was also a place where, when the kingdom was divided after Solomon, they had a king named Jeroboam. And Jeroboam, instead of having the people worship God in Jerusalem, she made a calf of gold there in Bethel. So Jeroboam caused the northern kingdom to sin by allowing them to worship a calf instead of worshiping the true God. And that is the issue we have here, where Amos is going out to talk to the people in Bethel. Also you'll find that this place had great prosperity. It was a place of great wealth at that time when Amos was writing the scripture. People live in luxury, riches, they were very proud. And we also find that they had winter homes and summer homes, the scripture described it. And the people felt secure about their wealth, but there was also a time of great immorality. They worshiped the false gods, and also Amos went out to warn the people of their sin. They had great issues with the poor. They did not treat them well. And so we find here in scripture that Amos went up to Tekoa. So let's look at some of these weird things. I won't really get too much in detail with this because the time will escape us. But the actually scripture says in various parts of Amos, they sold them to slavery. They trampled on the heads of the poor. They had great neglect for the poor at that time. And Deuteronomy chapter 24 talks about the fact that how you're supposed to treat the poor. It was one of the laws that Moses had given them. And if you plan to lend them money, actually commit yourself to lending them the money. It says there, do not take advantage of the poor. If you have to pay them because they're working, pay them daily. That's what it says there in Deuteronomy. Don't let them go to sleep and where they can actually go around and not bless you because of what the work that they have done. Give them the wages that they earn at the end of the day. So we find that Amos has some very interesting similarities to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times in this particular book, Amos had written, "Thus saith the Lord," over 44 times. And many times it is written, "The Lord had spoken." And so today, our Lord Jesus Christ did the same. He himself spoke many words of God. And so we find here that our Lord Jesus Christ There are some similarities between him. We can think of the fact that Amos was tending the sheep and he was a herdsman. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ grew up as a carpenter. We know that Amos in his book, we will not get involved in all his descriptions, speak a lot of illustrations. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke in the Gospels, there were many illustrations, stories, and parables that came about. But our Lord Jesus did so many things. And so we find here that there was authority that was given from our God for the Lord Jesus Christ to speak. He says there in John chapter 12 and verse 49, he says, "For I have not spoken my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a commandment, which I say, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, thus as the Father had told me, so I speak." There was a commandment that came from God that allowed our Lord Jesus Christ to speak the things of his Father. Amos did the same thing, thus saith the Lord. Amos was charged with treason. We kind of read that verses this evening, whereby it says there that he said, the high priest that was in it, Bethel, said Amos had conspired against the house of Israel, against the king. We find here that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was judged before Pilate, when Pilate made an effort to release him, the Jews shout, "If you release this man, you are not a friend of Caesar, and everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." So we find there that Pilate was on trial. Jesus was on trial before Pilate, and there was a concern that the Jews said that if you release Jesus, since he makes himself a king, he opposes Caesar. So he was charged in a sense of treason. He went, therefore, to the cross to die for our sins. There was a sense of an obligation before God, whereby Amos had to go and speak. And so we find here that it was a duty. And we read, "The lion roared, who will fear?" In Amos chapter 3 and verse 8. "The Lord has spoken, and who can do anything but prophesy?" And that was Amos. His job was, therefore, he prophesied to the Lord about the judgment that there is to come. So our Lord Jesus Christ, he had a duty. We find that when he healed one of the men who were born blind, our Lord Jesus Christ said that we must work, we must carry out the works of him who sent me as long as it is his day. Night is coming, who can do when no one can work? And while I'm in this world, I am the light of the world. We also find a comparison to our Lord Jesus Christ is that Amos denounced the riches of the people at that time in chapter 6 and verse 4 through verse 6. We'll get to this a little later. But Jesus also said the same thing about the rich man who actually wanted to build himself new barns. And he said, "Tonight, you are a fool. Your soul is demanded of you." So we're going to get back to that later. But let's look at the purpose of the book. Again, the purpose of the book is to warn of God's unrighteous people of his judgment because of their complacency that they had. They worshiped a false god. They had an extravagant lifestyle, and they actually oppressed the poor. And we find there in the book, as we quickly run through it, there are certain themes that are in this book. A theme of judgment to the various nations. We'll quickly look at that. A judgment to Israel and Judah. We have some visions, and we have a little bit of promise towards for restoration. You can see this now? This is a little map here that shows the places in which Amos is preaching about. And if you can actually look at this, there's a circle around the blue. So let's go around the blue. And we're all the way up in the red and so forth. God is going to judge. We're going to speak about these quickly. The red area, the brown area, the yellow, the green, and so forth, Moab. And so it takes a circle. And Amos is speaking like that. And he goes around and he judges every one of them, and slowly he will get into Judah, and then he will judge the people of Israel. And so this is just a map that demonstrates, if you can zoom in some more, you can actually see some of the words there which we will look at. So we'll start off with Damascus, where God brought judgment to Damascus. I'm just going to quickly go through this because we have to. First of all, in Syria, God judged Syria because of the great cruelty that they had towards Israel. And so Amos speaks a lot about that in chapter 1. He also is going to judge the nations of Palestine, again, for what they have done. They carried the children away in exile to Edom. And so God is going to continue by saying, I'll judge them by fire. And then he will judge the people of Tyre, which is the Phoenicia. And so God has some judgments in them. Again, they do the same thing. The Tyre was a very wealthy country at that time. And King David and Solomon actually got cedar from them to build the house, David's house, and also for the temple of the Lord. And then he will judge Esau. Esau was the brother of, as you say here, Jacob. He had children, and so they called Edomites. And they were actually very fierce towards the children of Israel. So we had that situation that's taking place there, the judgment against Edom. And then he also spoke about judgment to the Amorites. Again, these are children who were, Abraham had a nephew whose name was Lot. Lot was told to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He ran out, his wife looked back, and so his two daughters got pregnant by Lot, the first one, and so they're called the Amorites, and they were very fierce against the children of Israel. And the second one was the Moabites with the other daughter. So these things were incestual relationships, sexual immorality that took place. And so he produced these nations that all fought against the children of Israel. And we find there that Judah, God pronounced judgment to Judah, which is the southern kingdom. And the reason why he pronounced judgment to them, because they have not kept the commandments that God had put forth. Remember, Abraham was chosen, and so his seed thereafter, through Isaac and then to Jacob and all thereafter, the children of Israel, God gave the commandments all the way down to Moses and Moses to all, but the children of Judah did not follow his commandments. So God is going to punish them. And he punished them by carrying away to Babylon. As he had mentioned. And then, of course, the people in Israel who, in Bethel, who really thought that, oh my goodness, thank you for talking about all the other nations around me, they're all so bad. And thank you for talking about Judah, because we're not Judah. But then he came to Israel in Bethel there, and he found that Amos had pronounced judgment on them. They sell the poor, they trample on them, they had great sexual immorality. And also, the scripture says that they also gave the Nazarites, people who were supposed to be separated unto God, in a sense, they couldn't drink wine, they couldn't cut their hair. We call them the hippies of back then. But these people were dedicated unto God. They gave them the wine to drink, and they also told the prophets that they should not prophesy. Just like how Amos was kicked out. Trying to be kicked out. Amaziah tried to kick him out and say, go back to your land. We don't want you here anymore. And so it was that Amos was there, and he pronounced great judgments on the children of Israel. But we also find in the scripture, as we run through quickly, that God has great judgments for the children of Israel at that time. We find that when he judged them in chapter 3, as you read this, he says it's the Lord had spoken to the whole family of Israel. The whole family. God didn't really look at just being a separate north and south, but he looked at them all as one. So you only have I known of all the families of the earth, and I will therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. God punished them because they walked away from the commandments of God. And God had these people, the children of Israel, as a holy nation. And he made them a kingdom of priests in Exodus. And so therefore, these people had some responsibility. They had a relationship with God that no other people on the earth had. And so the Lord said that he was going to give them punishment because you have walked away from them. You behave just like the other nations that's surrounding you. And so God wants you to be separate, apart, separate yourself, be holy unto him, and listen to his word. So there was judgment that took place in chapter 4 for all the sins that Israel had done, all their past sins. And so God said in chapter 4, one of the themes that come out in those words is that you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I did all these judgment unto you. I withheld the rain in chapter 4. You see, God withheld the rain, caused it to fall one place and not another, and creating judgment for them, they did not return unto the Lord. God said he put a poisonous wind that came across there in chapter 4, and yet they said they did not return unto the Lord. He sent pestilence. He sent people to actually kill their young, and they did not return unto God. And God destroyed them like some places of Israel, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he pulls them out from the burning, it says there in chapter 4. Yet they did not return unto God. And so therefore God said, at some point you need to prepare to meet me. You need to prepare to meet your God. There was a judgment that's going to come. And so God will punish them for their sins. He's going to punish them for their future sins. God said he'll punish Israel in the future because of your sin. I punish you in the past because of your sin. I will punish you in the future. In chapter 5, it says, seek the Lord and you shall live. God wanted the house of Israel to seek him in chapter 5 and verse 3. And you shall live. Don't seek the false gods of Bethel, but seek him and live. In verse 8 of chapter 5, it says, seek him, the name of the Lord, and instruct them to seek that which is good and not evil, that you may live. Hate evil, verse 15 of chapter 5. Hate evil and love that which is good, and also have righteous judgments within the courts. So we find here that the children of Israel were asked over and over again to change your behavior. Look unto him. Come back to Christ. Look unto God. He gave them a proper way of justice, and therefore he wanted to reinstitute that again. And then there was an admonition in chapter 6, whereby God wanted them to I know you feel comfortable, you've got your wealth, you feel secure, you live in Samaria, which is where the king lived, which is a very, very high mountain up there. And the scripture says that in chapter 6, I hate the pride of Israel. I hate the pride of Jacob, God said. And I hate his palaces, his houses. I hate his city that he has. And I'm going to rise up a nation in chapter 6 and verse 14. I'm going to rise up a nation that's going to oppress you and come against you because of what you have done. And so we find that there was Babylon came along. The Assyrians and then Babylon came along to finally give the nation of Israel more punishment. And then in chapter 7, we find that there are some visions. In chapter 7 through 9, there are some visions that we have here that God has given to Amos. The vision of the grasshopper in chapter 7. It talks about the fact that God was preparing judgment. And he only delayed the judgment because of Amos' intervention. The same thing with the fire. God was going to devour them, the land in chapter 7 with a fire. And Amos intervened by praying to God. And so God did not allow the grasshoppers to come. He didn't allow the fire to come. But we also find that prayer works. And so it's important that we as believers do pray. But then there was another vision we had there, the vision of the wall and the plumb line. The plumb line is something that's used to measure something that's straight. And so God saw the people, and the second see if they were crooked, and if they should punish them. It reminds us in the verses of Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my, and know me and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in a way everlasting." The vision of the plumb line, where God is searching to see if the wall is straight, and there should be nothing crooked there. And then, of course, there was a vision of the basket and the summer fruit, whereby there was all the fruits went in there. Once Israel was a beautiful nation, they followed the Lord, and now they've turned rotten. And so we find there in the scripture that they were looking for the new moon. They couldn't wait to find when the new season come up that they could again prosper and exploit the poor. And therefore, they had even false scales of measurement, the scripture that God was condemning them for in chapter 8. And sort of shorting people their food. And so therefore, God said there was going to be a great famine that's going to occur at that time. It's not a famine for water. It's not a famine for food. But it's a famine for the word of God. And that's going to happen soon, as we find here in this, even where we live. Some of Amos, as I was reading Amos, it kind of reminds us of the same country that we live in. A lot of famine is taking place. A lot of immorality. A lot of wealth and everything else that Amos was complaining about, and God was complaining about the children of Israel, that was almost like it's taking place here too. And then God was standing at the altar, one of the visions he saw, that God was standing at the altar, and then God was looking to execute punishment on the children of Israel. And you think about this, it says there in chapter 9, we used to sing a song many years ago, but the idea is, the phrase says, you can run, but you can't hide. We've heard that phrase before. But here in chapter 9, God said he will judge Israel. There's no escaping. And the omnipresence of God is saying that, you know, you are a people. You're going to try to hide anywhere you try to hide. In depth, in the highest mountains, in the lowest part of the sea. I would say even in space. No matter where you go, God will find you, and God is there. He's everywhere, the omnipresence of God. His eyes is in chapter 9, it says there, his eyes are upon the sinful nation, and he will destroy them from the earth. So God is standing at the altar to judge, and one day we'll find that he's going to give us that millennium, and we'll find that he is going to give us, we'll be with him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's look at a question that goes out. Does God have a right to judge the people? Does God have a right to judge the nations? From the book of Amos, you can look at chapter 4 and verse 13. God says, I do. So from creation, the Lord said in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "For behold, for lo, he who forms the mountain, who creates the wind, who declares unto you man, what is his thought, and that maketh the morning darkness, and treaded upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name." We find here that God had made the world. He made the mountain, the earth at which we live in. And he's given man even thoughts. And he made darkness, he made light. He says, this is his name. The Lord of hosts is his name. And in chapter 5 and verse 8, it says there, "To seek him that maketh the seven stars, Pleiades, and Orion, the constellation of Orion, and turn the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth the water of the sea, and pour them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." Again, our God that makes the stars and makes the water. And then in chapter 9 and verse 5, it says there, "And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land and shall melt it, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt." It is he that buildeth his stories in heaven, and he founded his truths in the earth. And he calleth the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. And so we find that in creation, God made it all. This place that we live on, this terrestrial ball that we sit on, and we walk around and we feel that we are so proud to do whatever we do, build our houses, whatever. God made this particular planet, the water, and even the stars that we look out into heavens. He made it all. But then God said that I am the Lord over all the nations. And if you go back to chapter 1, and we studied all the nations that, in a sense, we looked at, that God had judged them for this, their own sins. The surrounding nations, he judged, and even judged Israel and Judah for their sins. And then God warned of an impending judgment. He says in chapter 3 and verse 6 and 7. So in chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, the scripture says that, shall the trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord have not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he will reveal his secret unto the servants, the prophets. And so we find here that God is going to, the trumpet is something that's used to warn of danger. And you want to make sure, if God is speaking of danger, are you going to not listen? Are you not going to find out what's actually happening? And if disaster comes, the Lord creates disaster, I cause it. And surely, God says, the Lord does nothing. I reveal my judgments to the prophets. Of course, the Israelites have killed their prophets and told them not to prophesy. And to his servants. So we thank God for Amos, who was delivered in his word. And we find here that, we find today that we, who have heard God's word, we have trusted in him, believed on him, God has revealed himself unto us through his spirit. And we know his spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of the person except the spirit of the person that is in him? So also the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of this world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak those things. This is, again, our responsibility, not in words thought by human wisdom, but in words, but in those thought by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness in him, and he cannot understand them, but they are spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet for himself discerns by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so therefore, our responsibility, understanding that we have the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians 2, this we just read, 10 through 16, and in 2 Peter 3, for verse 17, it says, we ourselves are not carried away by the errors from the things that we have learned. So let's understand God's word. Let's continue to declare it as Amos did. And God warns us of impending judgment that's happening here. And so God, in a sense, looks at he says, I can judge the people. I can judge the land because I made the world. And God judges the land because we read in chapter 3 for the false worship that they had. God will judge them because of pride that they had in chapter 6. And God will judge them because you cannot hide from the presence of God. No matter what wickedness you have done, you can try and run away, but you will not be able to hide from the presence of God. He will be that judge. Chapter 6 talks about why Israel was going to be judged. And this particular model that's been used here, that God has written, said through Amos, is used throughout all the other countries that we know in the world. Talks about the fact that, one, in chapter 6, verse 4, we just read these couple verses here. Chapter 6, it says here, they lie in beds of ivory. They stretch themselves out upon couches. They eat lambs out of the flock and calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the viol and invent themselves instruments of music like David. They drink in bowls and anoint themselves with chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive. So we have this thought here that the lifestyle in which the people had lived, it happens throughout the entire world. Sexual immorality, we talked about the bed of ivory. We know that clearly Samaria was they had a palace of ivory, and people had, you know, very expensive wealth. So we find there that there was this bed of ivory, they sat there, they had the scriptures trying to imply of sexual immorality of all form, and also gluttony. They had all the food they could eat. And of course, you see, they also had music. They made music. And they composed themselves all kind of chants that takes people away from worshiping God. And God said, that's another way in whereby a nation falls. And then we can find there, they drink the wine in these bowls, these sacrificial bowls. And so we find there that a nation that has been given over to drunkenness. And today, not only drunkenness, but we can add drug abuse. And drug use has now become the new thing. What was hidden is now open. And so now we find here that there is, all of this is taking place, is a sign of the downfall of the nation of Israel. It's a sign of the downfall of many nations we find around the world, and we need to be careful of what's happening here. Clearly the phrase, eat, drink, and tomorrow we die, was used in Isaiah. Of course, they were being captive, and so they said, we're going to die anyhow, so let's eat tomorrow. But the people have used this phrase, not in a negative way, people use it today. Who cares about what God says? Let us enjoy ourselves. Do whatever that feels good, do whatever that sounds good, tastes good, smell good, and then whatever happens tomorrow, we don't know. But we ask God that we should, as he says, seek the Lord, seek God. Let's just end this by saying, Amos had said, that we should prepare to meet God. There's a time coming when judgment will fall upon us. God has shown that he has judged the world by example in the scripture, and I don't believe anyone is going to escape this in any time soon. If we thought that we are so invincible that we cannot escape the judgment of God, the scripture says you're wrong. So let's prepare to meet God. Let us seek God. Seek the Lord that we can live, and let us hate the evil and love that which is good. And let us recognize that in the world that we live in, there is lots of corruption, and there are few righteous. But we ask our Lord, the scripture says here, that the people in Amos' day had one other big problem. It was the courts. People could buy their way in the courts. You see this today. You can delay a trial if you've done wrong, if you have enough money. And if you don't have enough money, you'll be tried, you know, in a very short time period. So we ask that people would have righteous living, and that the judges that we have today will also live righteously. But the Lord says that we should hear the word of God. Amos actually came out and he spoke unto the people, and he said, hear the word of the Lord. And so we must also hear the voice in which was spoken in the scripture of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. He was the one that came to die for our sins. He's the one that says that if anyone hears my word and believeth on me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from judgment unto life. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So may God bless this word as we heard it today. And maybe just read the book of Amos. It's relevant for today as it was thousands of years ago. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that is true. We thank you for your word that gives us light. We thank you for true your word that we can have an understanding of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can know the truth, and it shall set us free from our sins. We thank you, Lord, that one day the scripture says that if you do not believe on me, you will be punished for our sins. But now we've believed on it, you can have everlasting life. We ask, O Lord, that we can turn our hearts unto you and to hear God's word and believe on him and confess our sins. And he is willing to save us and to give us eternal life. O God, we thank you for this week. We thank you for the families we have here. We pray for our families. We pray for our friends. We pray for those that we come in contact around. We pray for you, for our country. We pray, O God, that for a nation. We ask, O Lord, that we would be a people that, as Amos has been speaking of, one that will turn unto you, one that can seek the Lord, one that can be a voice whereby we can portray the things in which the Lord has given us to say and to do. And may we, O Lord, give us the strength and the courage. Let's not trust in ourselves, but we can trust in the Lord. So bless this time as you go forth this week, and may these words encourage our hearts, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.